Good morning. Welcome to this service of worship, whether you are here with us in person or worshiping with us on Facebook Live on this hot and humid Sunday morning. We do share in open communion every week, and if you are with us virtually, I hope that you will have communion elements available to you when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together later in our service. All are invited to Christ's table, and we remind those here, if you would please take your cups with you as you leave and dispose of them in the receptacle provided, that will help us immensely. We share in our offerings to God by placing our gifts in the offering tray at the sanctuary doors or by mailing gifts to the church office. We are still accepting donations toward the removal of the tree on the back of the property. If you are so inclined, every little bit helps, whatever you can give over and above your regular gifts. Cuyahoga County is back up in the yellow transmission area for COVID. Please be aware of that and keep yourselves safe, especially when you are gathered indoors. We've all gotten a little lax and it's very hot and we all know that, but please do your best to keep one another and yourself safe during this time. I think that's all the announcements that I can think of, so let us prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, reading verses 1 through 13. Hear these words. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Thanks be to God for these words as they come to us from the Gospel of Luke. In my mind, at least, this may be one of the most confusing scriptures about prayer. Well, maybe not confusing so much, but in 32 years of ordained ministry, I find it interesting that I've only preached on this scripture that pops up every 3 years in the lectionary, only once before. And as I kept reading and studying this scripture this week, I wondered what in the world had drawn me to it this time. It starts out well enough with the disciples asking Jesus to teach them about prayer. And here in Luke's version, he gives them what I call the Reader's Digest condensed version of what we know as the Lord's Prayer. It's not the longer form found in Matthew's Gospel, but it's familiar enough. The basics are there, and we certainly know what Jesus is referring to. And then Jesus goes on to tell this odd little story about the friend at midnight, and the much-loved phrase pops up, "Ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you." That line sure has caused us problems over the years, problems for many people. If God doesn't answer your prayers just as you want it, you aren't asking hard enough. You're not persistent enough. You don't believe hard enough. We've all heard the phrases. We've all wondered. We've all beaten ourselves up over it. And over the years, rather than confront what's really going on in this scripture, we tend to put the blame on others. Oh, they got to God first, or they believed more, etc., etc. And if that's not frightening enough for us, at least in the faith department, we learned about giving our children snakes and scorpions. Fearful things, at the very least. I'm not a snake person, never was. My children thought it was funny when we went to the zoo and to get me through the reptile house. I certainly don't consider myself evil at the end of this passage, although admittedly there are times my thoughts are not probably as pleasant as they should be. But in the end, what does all of this have to do with me and with us and with prayer? And of course, that's where the gotcha comes in. God gives us this little gotcha at the end of this pericope, talking about God sending us the Holy Spirit. So what is it that's happened here? The disciples didn't ask about the Holy Spirit. That was the furthest thing from their minds. Somehow we got from teach us to pray through God's persistence and our persistence and through snakes and scorpions and evil to God giving us the Holy Spirit. It always makes me wonder who chose this section of scripture that we call a pericope. Who thought these verses went well together? Why not one section or another? At the very least, we've got another God twist, which if you haven't noticed, happens a lot in scripture, and maybe, just maybe, that's the point. All those other things are human feelings, human actions, human desires. We want a formula. We want words to say. We want some kind of special incantation, the fast lane to God, so we can bypass all those other people out there praying. Mostly we want to be the one in control, the one who holds the power even over God. But the reality is, prayer isn't about control or power or even words, and neither is our faith. Our faith, our worship, our prayer is about building a relationship with God. At least it should be. It's about communication between us and God. And we can do all the right things and we can say all the right words, at least we think we do, and still and always, that's not what is important. It's the relationship. And relationship, if you haven't noticed, just as communication, is a two-way street. God will help us. God will guide us. But we must listen for his voice, for his word. And how will we know that that communication is happening? When we find we are living with the Holy Spirit within us and among us. When we, in prayer and action, open ourselves up to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our community of faith, in this congregation. You know, God can't be contained or put into a box. God doesn't sit on some throne like a Santa Claus and pick and choose which prayers will be answered and which won't. Somehow, this section of scripture has become an approval for our wish lists that rise to God. But prayer is so much more than that. Because God does listen, and God sends the Holy Spirit to instill in us the hope for the kingdom of God, the reign of God. It shifts our actions away from me to us. It shifts our attitude onto God and God's kingdom and God's justice and God's grace. I'm not saying that the way we pray individually or publicly is somehow invalid, or the way we lift our concerns and hopes and dreams to God is wrong. Any good relationship shares those things. But too often, I'm afraid, it's our needs, our wants, and our desires that get in the way instead of first opening up our relationship with God and seeking God. We want details to relate to God as if God doesn't know what's deep down within the recesses of our hearts. And we have gotten so used to the way things are or the way we think things should be that we are seldom willing to consider what God wants for us and from us. It's my way or the highway, we do often think and say, whether it's at church or in our relationships or just in general. We want power. We want control. And the amazing thing about this scripture is that we are reminded that God will always have a surprise for us. Whether we are looking and listening or paying attention or not, God will hear us and respond. For we are given the Holy Spirit, who indeed works within us and among us, guiding and teaching and leading and loving and building a relationship with us as individuals and as a congregation, a relationship with God, the greatest gift and the greatest relationship that we can have. Thanks be to God. Amen.